Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome, friends, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only one more week until Easter Sunday, a day set aside especially to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Today is Palm Sunday, when we commemorate the Lord's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, recorded for us in the Gospels. This triumphal entry was only days before his crucifixion and death to buy our salvation. He rode into the city on a donkey in fulfillment of a messianic prophecy in Zechariah. Now, it was the long-held tradition of the day that if the conquering king rode into town on a horse, he was bent on war, but if on a donkey, he intended peace. The prophetic significance and traditional implications could not have been overlooked on that day, as the conquering King of Kings rode into town as Jewish Messiah, come to die on the cross not only for the sins of the Jews, but for the sins of all peoples of every land. Now, the prophecies also foretell that King Jesus will return in a day of judgment upon wickedness, bringing wrath upon all them that know not God and obey not the gospel. On that day, he will indeed be riding a horse. The Lord Jesus will be wearing a vesture dipped in blood, and he will have a name written that no man knows. But on that day, nearly 2,000 years ago, as he rode into town, not on a horse, but on a donkey, he came in a name that everyone there understood. In fact, as they threw down coats and branches to prepare his path and waved palm fronds to celebrate his entry into the city, they cried out to him a portion of a prophetic psalm, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus accepted all of this in meekness and humility, even knowing that in just a short time, only a few days, the crowd would turn against him and begin to cry instead, "Crucify him." That too he accepted in meekness and humility. What kind of love is this? That's the very question asked by my friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean in this next song. What kind of love is this?
What kind of love is this that climbs the hill, that bears the cross, that takes the nails? What kind of love is this that takes my place, that gives his life and clears my name? Oh, oh, I want to know.
You're listening to the Voice of Truth, and I'm your host, Doug Joseph, pastor of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Now, CAC is a Pentecostal church. That means that we believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for believers today, and that the outpouring of the Spirit that you read about in the book of Acts is still supposed to be happening in the church today. It certainly is happening where we are, and if it's not happening where you are, it should be. If your church is not a Pentecostal church, why not? Also, Christian Apostolic Church is, as you can tell by the name, apostolic. This means that we seek to learn and then preach and practice the same doctrinal truth that was preached and practiced by the apostles in the first century church. And this leads us to a discussion of Jesus and his name. The name of Jesus is the name of our King, our Lord, and the Scripture says that he is the head of the church, and he is the bridegroom, and his church is his bride. Now, ever since the Garden of Eden, the bridegroom has given his name to the bride. In other words, the wife is called by the husband's name. The Bible says of Adam and Eve, who each had their own individual names, as I just demonstrated, Adam and Eve. But the Bible says in one place in the book of Genesis that God called their name Adam. In other words, God addressed both the husband and wife by the husband's name. And this lets us know God's thinking on the matter, and that is that the wife should take the husband's name. So if the church is the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom, then the church is supposed to be taking on the name of her groom, the name of Jesus. And in the book of Acts, the apostles preached and taught baptism in the name of Jesus. And here, as the new believers were baptized in Jesus' name, it was the groom's name being applied to the bride. So, I want to talk to you for a few moments today about Jesus' name, and specifically the application of Jesus' name to the new covenant believer in water baptism. Now, there is a scripture that many people use to support the idea that three titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, should be used in water baptism and not Jesus' name. So I want to read that scripture, and then I want to bring many other scriptures to bear and show why there is no contradiction between that scripture and all of the many places in the book of Acts where baptisms were done in Jesus' name. First of all, let's look at the biblical data. In the book of Acts, baptisms were always done in Jesus' name, and you can read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts chapter 8, verse 16, Acts chapter 10, verse 48, and Acts chapter 19, verse 5, and you can even read a reference to it in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Universally, without question, baptisms were done in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, what then does Matthew 28:19 mean? And does it represent a contradiction in the scriptures? Or does it actually provide a great understanding to us with no contradiction in the scriptures at all? Here's what Matthew 28:19 says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, the first thing to notice is, to whom was Jesus speaking when he spoke the words written down in Matthew 28:19? Well, if you study Matthew 28, you'll see that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, the ones who would be called the apostles. And it's interesting that even though he commanded them to baptize this way, they universally baptized in Jesus' name. In other words, the men that were entrusted with the truth and were the ones that had their understanding opened, they somehow believed that the proper way to obey Jesus was to baptize in Jesus' name. Well, this leads us to actually studying what Jesus said in the 19th verse of the 28th chapter of Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Now, there is no S, there's no plurality, it's not names, it's the name, singular. So, strictly speaking, we're looking for one name that is a name that has three qualifications. It is the name of the Father, and it is the name of the Son, and it is the name of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the name of the Father? Well, the scriptures actually can be brought to bear on this. The Bible lets us know that in the Old Testament, God used a Hebrew word that means He is. It has a meaning of self-existent one. It's translated as I am. And God used this as a name for himself under the Mosaic covenant and in his dealings with Moses. And so this name that is pronounced in Hebrew, something along the lines of Yahweh, meaning I am, was given to Moses as a name for God the Father. Now, some scholars tell us that trying to delve in and get a full meaning for this name leads to something along this lines. I was what I was. I was what I am. I was what I will be. I am what I was. I am what I am. I am what I will be. I will be what I was, I will be what I am, I will be what I will be. And all of this is wrapped up in this one name for God the Father. Now, the scriptures show us that different terms for God's attributes would then be attached to this one name. And this led to titles like Yahweh Jireh and Yahweh Tsidkenu and Yahweh Rapha, and all of these different meanings like God is our banner and God is our provider and God is our healer and so forth. But of all of these different attributes that were appended onto this name for God the Father, the highest and most important one was that regarding the aspect of salvation, of God as our Savior. And this was the ultimate name for God the Father, was to say, the I Am is my Savior, the I Am is my salvation. And this in the early Hebrew was said something along the lines of Yahweh Shuach, or Yahoshuach. And that last letter in the Hebrew is an ayin. It's a guttural sound that's virtually unpronounceable, and please forgive me, I probably did a very poor job of it. But over the years, the Hebrew language changed from the earlier Proto-Hebrew into the monarchic Hebrew, and then in later stages, the Masoretes added vowel sounds to what was a consonant-only alphabet, and eventually Hebrew faded out as a language no longer spoken by the commoners, but only a language of scholars and a language of religious people, and the common Hebrew man began to speak a sister language, Aramaic. Now, by the time Jesus came along, the name that I just spoke to you about, Yehoshuach, had begun to be pronounced in Aramaic, something along the lines of Yesu or Yeshu, depending on what part of Israel you were from, the northern or the southern part. And this name, Yesu, means the I Am, God the Father, the Old Testament God, is my Savior, is my salvation. And so when the angel came in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 and said, Thou shalt call his name Yesu or Yeshu, for he shall save his people from their sins. The angel was actually saying that this child, Jesus, that is to be born, is to be called by the name of God the Father. And not just any name of God the Father, but the ultimate name, the one that has to do with salvation. Now you can see why the words that came after the name said, For he shall save his people from their sins. Now that name, Yeshu or Yesu in Aramaic, is in Greek, Iesus. And as the Bible was translated into Latin, those Latin characters, Iesus, eventually resulted in the English characters, Jesus. When we say the name of Jesus, we are not only saying the name of the Son, we are saying the name of the Father. And this is why the Lord Jesus was able to say things like, I am come in my Father's name, and was able to say that he had declared his Father's name. And in Jewish mindset, a person's name represented all that they were. So, biblically, the proper formula for Christian water baptism is to be baptized in the name of the one who was crucified for us. The Apostle Paul began to bring this forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. I'd like to read that for you in your hearing. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Let me read it to you from the New International Version. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. And another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? Now, it's clear from these rhetorical questions that the answer is no, they were not baptized in the name of Paul, and no, Paul was not the one who was crucified for them. This parallel logic in these rhetorical statements leads us to understand that it was crystal clear in the Apostle Paul's mind that they were baptized in the name of Jesus because Jesus is the one who was crucified for them. So, we want to bring to you some scriptures that will help you to understand that water baptism in Jesus' name is the one name that satisfies all three qualifications. It is the name of the Father, it is the name of the Son, and it is the name of the Holy Ghost. I mentioned that Jesus said he came in his Father's name. That's in John 5:43. In John 10:30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." And in Zechariah 14:9, it was prophesied that the Lord's name is to be one. So, one Lord, who is Father and Son united, one name for this one Lord. Now, the Son's name, as we mentioned, is Jesus. This is made very clear in Matthew 1:21. And it gets interesting when we realize that in the Old Testament, God the Father said that before him every knee would bow and every tongue swear or confess. Yet the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11 that it is at the name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This lets us know that when we worship God by worshiping the Son, the man Christ Jesus, we are actually giving glory to God the Father by Jesus. So when we pray in Jesus' name, when we worship Jesus, we are worshiping God the Father because he is the God who is manifest in flesh as Jesus. So we should recognize that by calling upon the name of Jesus, we have access to God the Father. We should realize that for those of us alive in the new covenant, Jesus is the person and name by which God the Father desires to be addressed and accessed. Now, does this cover what the name of the Holy Ghost is? Well, let's talk about it. The terms Spirit and Ghost are synonymous. When the Bible says Holy Ghost, it means exactly the same thing as Holy Spirit. In fact, the very same Greek terms are translated as both ghost and spirit in different places. Now, the Bible tells us in John 4:24, God is a spirit. So, God the Father is a spirit, and the Bible tells us that God is holy. The term Holy Spirit is just another term for God the Father. So, all of the prior points about the name of the Father apply, but there's more. Ephesians 4:4 tells us there's only one spirit. There are not two or three spirits, there's only one spirit. And Ephesians 4:5 tells us there's only one Lord. Philippians 2:11 says Jesus is that one Lord. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17 that the Lord is that Spirit. Now, Jesus, in teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit coming to dwell within believers, said of the Holy Ghost these words, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." That's John 14:18. So we should recognize that the Holy Spirit is, and I quote, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." That's Colossians 1:27. So hopefully we've made it clear to you by now that the redemptive name for all New Covenant believers is Jesus. Does this surprise you? It should not. As believers who have the one Spirit dwelling in us, as long as we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. That is according to 2 John 1:9. The man Christ Jesus said himself that the Holy Spirit would be sent in his name. That's John 14:26. His name is Jesus. The Spirit is sent in Jesus' name. So, no name other than Jesus could possibly be rightly attributed to the Holy Spirit within New Covenant believers. Thus the Bible says of Jesus' name, and I quote, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So now you understand why that all of the baptisms in the book of Acts were done in Jesus' name, and how it is that Jesus' name is the fulfillment of the Lord's command in Matthew 28:19. Jesus' name is the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. We encourage you to be baptized in Jesus' name if you have not already done so. If you cannot find a church near you that will baptize you in Jesus' name, then please come to Christian Apostolic Church and we will help you get that taken care of so that you can take on the bridegroom's name and become part of the bride, the church, that is called by his name, his wife that has taken on her husband's name. You can find out how to locate our church. There's map and driving directions on our website at cac.us.com. For more information on this, you can email me, Pastor Doug Joseph, at pastor@cac.us.com. And you can call the church at 304-624-4459. Again, check out the website at cac.us.com.
Folks, if you don't already have hard and fast plans for where you're going to be on Easter Sunday, we welcome you to celebrate with us the single most awesome event in all of human history, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be awesome, anointed preaching of the Word here at Christian Apostolic Church, along with superb praise and worship music. And the Spirit of the Lord is ever moving in the midst of those gathered in His name. Lord willing, that same weekend, we will also be celebrating another smaller victory, a different kind of milestone. CAC, again, that's short for Christian Apostolic Church, the name of our local assembly. CAC has been blessed to be able to pay off its mortgage early. We would love to have you accompany us as we burn that mortgage. We'll be joined by some wonderful Christian ministers, some of whom are just great people of God, whose friendship we're blessed to enjoy, and others are former members that have been exported across the land from CAC as their launch pad. We plan to have a wonderful mortgage burning / homecoming celebration as we enter into the presence of the risen King to rejoice in His everlasting life that brings new life to His followers. The date is March 21, 22, and 23. That's Friday, Saturday, and Easter Sunday. Friday night, the pre-service prayer will start at 6:30, with the service likely to go nuclear at around 7 p.m. Saturday night, pre-service prayer will start at 5:30, and the service will be launching into orbit around 6. Sunday morning, there will be a special doubleheader at 10. Two simultaneous events: a Holy Ghost crusade for the adults and a Super Church crusade for the kids. Some of the tremendous speakers lined up for the weekend include Bishop Dan Garlitz, Superintendent of the West Virginia District of the UPCI, Reverend Pascal Kreitz, President of West Virginia UPCI's Youth Association, Reverend Rob Fazilor, Secretary of West Virginia UPCI's Youth Association, and Reverend Perry Harris Sr., who served as associate pastor at CAC before he retired, or should I say refired, and launched into new ministry territory in North Carolina. And all the kids are sure to enjoy the exciting children's ministry of Total Praise with Mike Ray and Company of Huntington, West Virginia. If you cannot come and be with us live in person, then visit us on the web at cac.us.com. There on the site, you can post your prayer needs quickly and easily. And as we help you pray about your needs and for the healing of your loved ones that are sick, you can help us pray for the needs of others by clicking through the many prayer needs already posted on the site. There are needs there from all over the country and even from around the world. On behalf of Jesus Christ, the Voice of Truth is brought to you by CAC, that's Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. We offer totally free in-home Bible studies. No cost, no obligation. So call, click, or come by. The phone number is 304 304-624-4459. Again, that's 304-624-4459. Again, the website is cac.us.com. That's cac.us.com. And you can reach us by email at voice@cac.us.com. Again, that's voice@cac.us.com. That's it for now. We look forward to spending another exciting half hour with you next week. Until then, may God richly bless you as you hear and obey the voice of truth.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
Hi, friends. This is Doug Joseph, pastor of CAC and host of The Voice of Truth. I want to tell you about an awesome event you're going to see me at later on this month, Messiah 2008. This is a dynamic drama production, compelling in its message. I promise you, you cannot afford to miss Messiah 2008. With a cast and crew of over 125, Messiah will have you on the edge of your seat until the very end. With a new stage, props, fabulous costumes, you will be drawn into the dusty streets of Jerusalem and swept up in the excitement of a Savior walking among us. You'll experience joy, sadness, rapture, a myriad of emotions as you are transferred back in time and brought face to face with the prospect of your own immortality and the promise of eternal life. Messiah 2008 will show at 7 o'clock each night, March 19, 20, and 21, and then a matinee performance at 4 p.m. on March 22. Messiah 2008 is a vast production by the Drama Ministry of Riverside Apostolic Church, Morgantown, West Virginia. For more information, call 304-292-4939. Again, that's 304-292-4939. Or click on the web to messiahreturns.net. That's messiahreturns.net. I'll see you there.